Welcome, good people of the internet. This is the Present Barber Podcast. I'm your host, Nelson Carmona. And on this podcast, we discuss stories from the hair industry and the unique people in it. Today's guest is Tina Sapia. Through discussing her journey in the hair industry, we talk about her consistency and her positive mindset and how she's able to use that to craft the life that she desires. Well, I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Let's get started. Welcome, everybody, to the Present Barber Podcast. I'm your host, Nelson Carmona, and today's guest, we have Tina Sapia. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for coming out. So I guess we'll just start. I guess the present theme that I've seen throughout the podcast is kind of getting people's origin stories as far as coming into the barber industry and becoming a barber. Mm-hmm. So thinking back, where did the root of you becoming a barber come through? Was it as a child or teenage years?
Actually, when I moved to Florida, which was about 18 years ago, I started cutting my hair like more and more because okay. I was away from everybody that told me, you know, don't cut your hair. You know what I mean? Okay. So I was trying to, you know, get a good haircut, whatever. But I never went to a barber because I was scared. You know, I was intimidated by it.
Gotcha.
And because usually only men go to barber shops. Well, that's what I was told. So gotcha. That was my experience. So I decided to cut my own hair. And I loved it.
Awesome.
I loved cutting my own hair. But I didn't do anything about it because I knew I had to work. I knew I needed a steady income. I just never thought about being a barber.
Yeah.
Until probably about nine years ago. I've been a barber for 9 years. So 9 years ago, I was like, you know what? Corporate world is just not for me. I was working for Bright House, and I just couldn't do the corporate world anymore. Like, I couldn't make anyone happy.
Gotcha.
And I'm very much the type of person that I want to see people smile. Yeah. I want to help people, you know what I mean? And doing that kind of customer service type, you know, call center,
yeah,
you don't get that satisfaction, you know what I mean? So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this. And I went to school full time, and I worked full time.
Damn.
And I got it done.
That's awesome. So as far as that hustle and all that stuff, what made you even like what was the process? I guess of the first haircut that you gave yourself. Was it just getting frustrated, not getting short enough, or you're just like, I'm not getting satisfied by whoever's cutting my hair?
So
all of the above
because I was going to this one barbershop and I'm like, all right, shave it down nice, you know,
yeah, nice
soft,
and tight.
Like, to the point where if you slap it, it makes that sound like that, you know, like that. So
fresh cut, my G.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I wanted. And like, no, so they didn't think I knew what I was talking about. Like, no, there's no woman that actually wants to hear that skin.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, okay, I get it. And maybe they're not used to it. You know, I never was the person to be like, you know what? It's because of this. You know, I'm not that person.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm just like, well, maybe they don't know how to do it or whatever. I just started cutting my own hair. And I'm like, I'm going to get this bald. And I'm going to learn how to do it. And I started doing it.
Yeah.
And plus, I got dirty looks when I was there.
Mm.
You know, there's people that weren't used to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Having a female in the barbershop. So you're in hair school now. You're learning through YouTube videos and all that stuff. What was your first experience in the professional barber world? What'd you do after school?
So after school,
yeah.
I mean, there was a whole lot of stuff that happened in school that was amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, if I could just backtrack 1 second to in school.
Yeah, in school.
So in school, I was the only woman barber.
Yeah.
In school. So it was already, like, weird to begin with. But I'm just like, you know, whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
You know? So I learned from all the guys around me, and I'm, like, asking them questions. And, you know, certain people wanted to teach me, certain people didn't.
Mm.
And it was fine. I just rolled with it, you know?
Yeah.
But I ended up having, you know, a good amount of people, clientele and stuff, in school.
Mm-hmm.
So the teachers would always gas me up.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, you're going to be so great when you're out.
Yeah.
I'm like, Really? You know, really? Yeah. You know, I'm believing every word they say.
Yeah.
Now I'm eating it up, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be the best, you know? And I get out into the barbershop and I like looked at everyone else's cuts. I'm like, wow, I suck.
Yeah. Right? It's a realization once you're in the real world in the jungle.
Yeah, because there's so many things that you don't know. Like, yeah, they didn't teach me like how to properly do a lineup. Like now it's different. If you go to school, now it's different.
Yeah.
But back in the day, they didn't teach me how to do a lineup. I had to like learn on my own. They didn't teach me how to like make it look so crisp. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like go against the grain to do this and go and like, I didn't know all that stuff.
Yeah.
So when I went into the barbershop, I'm like, wow, I was floored by the talent that was there. And so I watched everybody, especially this one guy, Little Rob. He's at the shop. And Little Rob was the patient one. You know what I mean? So I went to him with all my questions.
Yeah.
And he, like, took it upon himself to just, like, teach me everything that I wanted to learn and more.
Yeah.
You know, when it came to, like, Spanish people's hair or black people's hair, what, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I already knew how to cut white people's hair.
Yeah.
Right? My focus was to do black people's hair.
Yeah.
I wanted to be the best at it.
Yeah.
That was because I had experienced so many people saying, no, no.
Yeah,
I ain't letting no female cut my hair. I'm like, okay,
female,
I get it.
Yeah.
I don't want my hair cut messed up either.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not an insult.
Yeah.
It's reality.
Yeah.
So I asked him a million questions about how to do it, and I figured it out. And
yeah.
But yeah, so I was garbage when I first came out.
Yeah.
Reality struck.
Yeah. Well, I think that's interesting too. I hope that, you know, where we're going towards barbering, that clients are realizing too that the look of a barber doesn't necessarily mean that that's the barber for you or that's going to be able to handle your hair and stuff like that. Especially just education wise and all that stuff. So that's awesome that you had Little Rob.
Little Rob.
Little Rob. Shout out Little Rob.
what, Little Rob?
No, but that's awesome. I think that's how we learn too, is just having an OG ahead of us kind of give us the skills and put us on game and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's in the barber culture in itself.
I mean, that's tradition, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we didn't, as kids, learn things like everything we know just on our own.
Yeah.
You know, we learn from our parents, we learn from the people we know, our friends, whoever, anybody that knew more than us at the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I looked up to him. I still do. You know what I mean? And like, it's amazing what I learned.
Yeah.
You know, just from every barber that I met.
Mm-hmm.
Not just him. There was another barber that taught me speed.
Yeah.
And the way he taught me speed was because he was fast. And if I wasn't fast, then I wouldn't have anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. You can't take 2 hours of
all
haircut.
Day cutting one person's hair, he would have gotten everybody and I would have been broke.
Yeah.
So I had to learn speed.
Yeah. Yeah. And just pacing yourself.
Yeah. So you take... You can't be too proud in this barber industry, in this profession.
Yeah.
You have to always be a student in everything you do.
Yeah.
And just learn from every single person you meet.
Yeah. Now, going from that shop, did you transfer to another shop or did you transition to having your own shop?
I stayed at that shop because I'm not like a job hopper.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
You know, in the corporate world, I stayed at a job until... forever.
Yeah.
So with this, I just stayed at this shop, the first shop I was at. I was there for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically treated it like it was my shop.
Yeah.
You know, he made me the manager of all the shops. And, you know, I had to, like, overcome that as well because the guys were like, whoa, she's brand new. I don't understand how she's the manager, you know, like first seat manager. So there was a bunch of things, you know, that was a lot of pressure. So I just treated it like my own shop. I did that for a while. And then once he started realizing how many people came in to the shop where we're at.
Yeah.
He wanted to do like more like a commission.
Okay.
Based.
Versus booth rent and stuff.
Well, as well as booth rent.
Oh, so double trouble.
Sorry. So, and at the time I didn't know, you know what I mean? I knew something was up. Like, I asked around. I'm like, hey, do you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do you? And they're like, nah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So what was happening was we were going to be getting charged the booth rent plus $2 off every haircut.
Mm.
And gotcha. So I, at that point, I had to, like, kind of take note of everyone's pocket. Mm-hmm. Like that was my job.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel right doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, being pocket watcher.
Yeah, like, what's up with that? Like, up north, we don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I understand, like, someone's business plan is their business plan, and that is perfectly okay.
Yeah.
But that business plan didn't work with mine, so I approached the person with a solution that, you know, made it fair for everyone.
Yeah.
I asked, you know, how about this? Mm-hmm. When we raise the rent to this amount, it makes it equal amongst everybody, and you get your money. And
yeah, everybody.
And then it's fair, right? I mean, I'm willing to pay this.
Yeah.
And that wasn't okay, so our business plans went separate. And at that point in time, I felt like I came to you with a solution to the problem that not just me, and I'm not the only one feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So he said no. And he said, I knew when I made this decision, that there would be people that wouldn't like it.
Mm.
So I do what I have to do for my family, and you guys have to do what you have to do for your family.
Yeah.
I said, that's fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just, from that point on, I had... I'm like, all right, I'm going to find a place.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Rob was like, there's a shop down the street, you know, it's open,
but
it'll be perfect. You know, I know a lot of people in the area, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, let's go look at it. We looked at it. It was just enough room.
Yeah.
You know? And so we, I'm like, this is it. I called and I'm like, all right, I want to rent this, blah, blah, blah. And then they gave me a price. I'm like, okay. I knew I paid for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had 2 months to do this.
Yeah.
And so from beginning to end, like 2 months to a T, I got the inspection. I got my license for the shop and I was working.
Nice. Ready to go.
Ready to go. But I knew I had to have a spot that I can pay for myself.
Yeah. Because if anything went wrong, you
right. Because I don't know, like, you know, like even though people are your friends and like, you know, they have families.
Yeah.
And they might say, you know, I want to do this, but they might not follow through with it.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah, there might be some resistance or something comes up.
Something comes up. You know, that's life.
Yeah, it's real life.
But I made sure that I had the money to pay for it. But they all was like, I want to come. I'm like, you do?
Yeah.
Damn, okay. Like, let's do this then.
Yeah.
And so this was it.
Nice. So you opened up with multiple barbers and all that stuff the day one, or they just slowly try to?
No, like I came in here, I was here for a week or maybe less than that by myself at the end of July.
Yeah.
And then of 2016, I think it was.
Okay.
And then Little Rob came next and Big Rob and then Christian, this other dude that used to work over there came as well.
Yeah.
And he called me. He's like, hey, I heard you got your shop. Mm-hmm. Congrats. You know, and I'm like, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I didn't ask people to be a part of it because I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to, like, having
a
chance at something else, that's on you.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And so that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
And so he moved here, too.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think, too, probably like them seeing you as a manager and all that stuff, they had some type of belief in you because you were able to deal with people day to day and stuff like that.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they had trust in me because I really worked hard for them at the other shop as well.
Yeah.
And like, and what I mean by that is that, you know, I would bring random people in like that I know or that I met and I'd be like, oh, well, this guy does a great job too, so like just go with him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so we started building more and more after that.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was like a family. Yeah. You know, we're still like a family, brothers and sisters.
That's awesome.
You know.
Yeah. I you know, watching you from IG and all that stuff and seeing you how you function with your barbershop and all that stuff, I see there's like a lot of community in this barbershop and just how you function as a business owner. What's important to you as far as a barbershop in the community and working around where you live and all that stuff?
I think a classic barbershop has to be a part of their community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period. Because, I mean, if we're really going into this profession and traditions of the profession, it was somewhere where someone can bring their kid.
Yeah.
A dad can bring their son. And now a mom can bring their daughter
yeah.
to get a haircut. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it might have changed a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but now everybody can get a cut.
Yeah.
And so we want to make the community feel safe here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, no cursing, no this, no that. Don't come in here smelling like a whole pound
yeah.
of weed. You know yeah, what I mean? Facts. Like, that's...
Yeah.
And people know that.
Yeah.
That we feel that way now. And yeah, maybe not everybody agrees with that.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
There's a place for you.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it might not be here.
It might not be here, but there's a... And I get it. I yeah. get it. You want to... You're a grown adult. You want to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And that's fair.
Yeah. Do you feel like that, you know, talking about the beginning of your journey, being that uncomfortable client in the barbershop, do you feel like that kind of had, you always had that in the back of your mind that you want to create that safe space for people?
For sure.
Yeah.
That's exactly why I wanted it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, dang. Like, so I went to, I heard about another barbershop down in St. Pete. Oh, we don't allow women to come in here. I'm like, why not?
Mm.
Like, I can't get a haircut.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's tradition, but like, my money is green. Like yeah, your money absolutely. Is.
Yeah.
If you want it, I have it for you.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I wanted a place that everybody could come to.
Yeah. Now, as far as I know, we went through this tremendous craziness of 2020 and all that stuff. And we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and all that stuff. How did that affect you guys as community wise, not being able to see your people and all that stuff?
Hmm.
Was there like a turnaround? Was there a great relief? I know it was a great relief for me to come back and be able to serve people again, but, how'd you guys feel about that time?
It was scary.
Yeah.
We were off for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that seems like nothing, right?
Yeah.
But it was still a long time. It seemed like 6 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we didn't know how much we needed our people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at first it was like, they're our clients and blah, blah, blah. But it was a slap in the face because now we know they're more than our clients.
Yeah.
They're not just clients. They're our friends. They're our family. Like, we've raised them. We've groomed them since they were little.
Yeah.
Up until they got married. Like, we need them, and they need us.
Yeah.
And they showed that in their actions, too. Like, so with Booksy,
mm-hmm.
there's the ability to do a tip jar.
Oh, okay.
A virtual tip jar. So what they did, they're like, hey, I'm going to shoot you some money, blah, blah, blah. I know you're not making any money. So there was people that were just giving us money just to give us money.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Right. And so if that doesn't show you something,
yeah.
like how like necessary we are.
Yeah.
Because that human touch is, I know that sounds weird, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's whatever because I'm a woman and a guy. But for another man to be taking care of another man, that's like almost even better because it's like, I'm taking care of you, bro. Like this is, you know what I mean? Like, let me... And they realized that, and they took care of us.
That's awesome.
And so that's the type of people we have.
Yeah.
And that's how we want to keep it.
That's amazing.
Where we help each other. I mean, that's what it's all about. Like, humanity really is all we have.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, like, everybody in this world, it's like we're lacking mm-hmm. in humanity. So to see that, people, like, wake up all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And, like, more and more people showed humanity, I think that was...
Yeah. Well, especially now with, you know, there's a lot of negativity on the internet and all that stuff of divide. But I feel like most people want to help other people, you know?
Yeah, generally they do. There's a lot of bad people everywhere.
Absolutely.
And of course, there's always going to be that. But there's a lot of good people.
Yeah.
Out there.
Now, as far as coming up in the industry as a woman and all that stuff, are you happy to see where things are opening up for other women barbers and all that stuff? Do you think that there's more that could be done as far as where it's at right now, or you think there's enough of a platform for women barbers to come up?
I think the opportunity has always been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think really. I mean, the opportunity has been there. It was did we have guts enough to put ourselves out there and be turned down?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a huge platform for people and, like, you know, for all kinds of people. And like, for a woman barber, I feel like I love seeing a lot of women barber out there,
mm-hmm.
you know? I think it's dope.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the end, we're barbers. We're all barbers.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, can you give a clean cut? Can you give good service?
Can you do what the client is asking you, your customer? Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, if not, then you need work.
Absolutely.
But the platform is there. The ability is there. I mean, I'm 45 years old. And I just got on with Wall.
Yeah.
And I never thought that would happen.
Yeah.
Just because of my age and because of, you know, I didn't know.
Yeah. Now, speaking about that, I think that's an amazing moment, you know, for you as far as being on Wall, just because it's a legendary company.
Right.
One of the big OG3s. As far as that journey goes, how did that come about as far as doing education and all that stuff for them?
In my eyes, it came about by like being consistent with like the stuff that I post, the way I promote, and consistency is always key, right? But I do owe a bit of that to Booksy, honestly, because they introduced me to a lot of, they were the first people to make me an ambassador for something.
Nice.
And so I was with them and they had me traveling to like Connecticut for the expo. They had me go to Las Vegas, Cali, all these other places that I started networking.
Wow.
And I met a lot of people. Mm. So I've, in Las Vegas, I met Bird Minna.
Mm-hmm.
And he does the shop fade stuff and all that. So everybody knows this guy is amazing, but like, you don't know this guy is like really amazing.
Yeah.
Like his personality, the way he is, his heart, like him as a whole, he's an amazing person.
Yeah.
So he put like, you know, he's like, hey, you know, and I would always help him out and he'd ask me to do stuff and he kind of like taught me certain things. And then one day he calls, he's like, hey, you know, we want you to be a part of this group. Wow. And I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
This was before Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no way. I started crying because I'm like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah.
From like Corona and being shut down to like all of a sudden my dream from the first day I started being a barber, I wanted to be an artist for Wall.
Yeah.
You know, and like it happened.
Yeah.
And it was freaking insane.
Yeah.
And so, and they're a great company. And they promote for us and they like take care of us and it's freaking amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely seeing like, you know, a lot of great barbers, you know, and you being a part of that team, coming up and doing some great content, to be honest. You know, I know we just, discussed before we were on camera and all that stuff that you just got done with your education class and all that stuff. How does it feel to be like a traveling educator and stuff like that? How are you working that out with just regular barber stuff? Because obviously you're very tied into community. You're very much about the local shop, but now you're kind of venturing out and all that stuff.
Well, it starts off with my foundation of my people here at the shop. I trust in them 100%.
Yeah.
So I know that I asked them, you know, hey guys, are you cool with me like leaving on this day? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And I know they're going to take care of it.
Yeah.
Like I don't even have to call to check in. So usually while we'll schedule stuff on the weekends, our weekends.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really affect my job.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, sometimes it might, but they take care of us in whatever way we need.
Yeah.
And it works out.
Yeah. And I think we were talking before the recorder died, you know, how important it is to get education outside of school and continue to do that education.
Thank you.
When do you feel like it's time to start? Should somebody be, you know, attending these classes as soon as they can and all that stuff?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, any education is going to be better for you.
Yeah.
Just stepping towards buying a ticket to, you know, go to an seminar or something like that is you're already making the right step.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like you're going to learn the basics in school and then it's up to you for the rest.
Yeah.
You know? And so, get education ASAP, whatever you need, you know, like if you like the person that's speaking or if not, you never know until you try.
Yeah. Talking about a little bit of, like leveraging like social media and all that stuff. Doing my research, I found out that, you know, you used Facebook Live pretty heavily, probably pre-pandemic, maybe post-pandemic too. How did that tool help you out as far as promoting the shop and all that stuff?
So from the first day, Facebook had a live feature.
Yeah.
actually Cameron, which is another barber at the shop. Yeah. I've been friends with him for a while. And he's like, hey, you know, Facebook does a live feature now. I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
Don't say that. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah. So I'm like, how do you do it? I started from day one.
Wow.
And I just went live every single day. And like, you know, you don't think anybody notices that, but because, you know, you're doing it so consistently all day, yeah. every day, like Facebook started seeing this thing on the map light up. They have a map of who's going live.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's this all about? Every single day, yeah. all day, this person's like going live.
Yeah.
Let's check it out. So they're like, all right, we don't have anything like this. So they reached out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they invited me to do like a Facebook Connect, I guess it's called. And like they were introducing the live feature and how it helps a business and stuff like that. So they took care of me in Miami. They took me down there to do this thing. And that's really what started that like mentality.
Mm.
Okay. Like if I do this, it's going to get us noticed.
Got you.
So people get the feel of the shop.
Yeah, before they even step
Come in. So a random person can see us on Facebook and be like, dang, that looks like a cool shop. Yeah. It's like comfortable in there. The vibe is dope. Like,
yeah.
They're funny.
Yeah.
And they come in and chill with us.
Yeah.
And they realize we're the same on camera and off camera.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Have you guys continued to do that? Are you guys going to get back on it and all that stuff?
Well, Facebook got a little strict with their music stuff, and we're always playing music, so yeah. it'll shut us down. So I had to find, like, a different... I did Instagram for a while,
yeah,
and they do the same thing with the music, so it's tough.
Yeah.
But TikTok...
Oh, okay.
So I got my my followers on TikTok up there.
Nice.
And so I go live on TikTok. They don't shut down for any music.
That's... Oh, yeah, because they... Everybody's always doing the dance.
Yeah, so I did that, and actually someone on TikTok reached out.
Yeah.
Hey, I noticed you go live.
Yeah.
You know, so the same thing happened.
Yeah.
And so they reached out to me. I want you to do a Clubhouse panel.
Oh, okay.
So they had me, you know, do a Clubhouse, go on the Clubhouse app with them.
Nice.
And like talk about the live feature on the TikTok and how it helped a business.
Now that's cool to talk about because I've heard things of Clubhouse, but I don't exactly know what it is. So what is Clubhouse? It's just got like just discussion.
Yeah, basically it's no videos, no nothing.
Okay, just
of
audio.
Anybody, just audio. You can listen to anybody. Bill Gates. You can listen to, you know, Jay-Z talk if he's on there. You know what I'm saying? And you can just listen in on these people and how they became successful.
Mm.
And you can create your own room. And talk about stuff that you love. Like, say you love doing podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. So you could go on Clubhouse and find podcast, you know, chats.
Oh, okay.
And people are like, yeah, if you want to be a successful, you know, podcaster, do this, this, and this. And you learn tricks of the trade from people that are actually successful doing it.
Yeah. Now, talking about mindset a little bit, what's that, I guess, the driving force for your success? Why? What makes you step up to... try to achieve these things?
I think knowing that, yeah, I have family. Yeah, I have people that love me.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that I don't want to count on that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Knowing that I'm the only one here in Florida that's supporting me is like a huge thing. I've been poor.
Yeah.
I've slept on a floor. I've slept, you know. Broke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I still was blessed enough to have a few friends that let me stay at their house or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to be that person again.
Mm.
And so for me, it's like, I need to be better every day than I was yesterday.
Yeah.
So today I'm going to try and do something and I'm going to do it like religiously.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be adamant about succeeding because if I don't work towards my goal every day, then I'm not going to reach that goal.
Yeah.
And so that's not okay in my book.
Yeah. Yeah, because I see you talk a lot about consistency, but, you know, being a person that follows you on Instagram and all that stuff, you talk a lot about, like, I feel like positive mindset, you know?
Yeah.
And just, Where did that come from as far as yourself? Did you just build that over the years and stuff like that? Or you always just been more of a positive person?
I think growing up in a Sicilian, I'm first born in America, right? Mm-hmm. So in Sicilian culture, there's a lot of things that with religion and stuff mm-hmm. like that, there's a lot of guilt, mm. a lot of this is going to happen if you do this. And then I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, I want to live by that. I want to be a good person, a good soul, a good, but my favorite thing is helping people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And what's stress going to do for me?
Yeah.
What's my worries going to do for me? Mm-hmm. It's just going to bog me down. I get stressed. I think about it. I'm like, all right, well, how am I going to be unstressed? How am I going to make it work? How am I going to forget about this?
Yeah.
And I have to take the steps to work at not being that.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I get you.
Here's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. And dang, I'm stressed about this problem. Mm-hmm. So stressed.
Yeah.
But what's that going to do for me?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Got you.
So if I fix it, if I come up with ways to fix this problem, mm-hmm. then it won't be a problem anymore.
Got you. So removing yourself from that, on top of the stress being stressful, don't stress yourself out over the stress.
Yeah, exactly. What's going to happen if you sit there all day and stress about this one thing?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Are you going to fix it?
Yeah.
Because if you're going to fix it stressing, then stress all day by all means.
Mm, got you.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you're not going to fix it by stressing, then why freaking worry about it the whole day? Just continue on with your day and then maybe the thought will come to you.
Yeah.
On how you don't have to worry about this anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think even the whole setting up your shop in 2 months or whatever, that took action. You weren't dwelling about a problem and all that stuff. You
what am I going to do? Oh my God, this is horrible. I can't, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to.
Yeah.
I already, my mindset.
Yeah. You already lost before.
I already lost.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I didn't even try. Mm. I just told myself I wasn't going to make it, period.
Yeah.
So I don't work like that.
Yeah.
You know, I try to hit every goal I set forth.
Yeah.
Only goal I've never hit was I wanted to be in the military when I was young. I don't know why,
mm-hmm.
but I never hit that goal because for one reason or another, either I was too tattooed or something by the time I reached, or I was too old by the time I reached the weight limit that, you know what I mean? That I wanted to be at in order to be in the military. That's the only goal I've never reached in my life.
Yeah.
And I haven't stopped setting goals because I think it's important. To keep, keep a list.
Yeah.
And you work towards that every day. It keeps your mind going.
Yeah.
It keeps you striving for better.
Yeah.
And if you don't want that, then that's cool too.
Yeah.
But I do.
Yeah. As far as goals and stuff like that, what's your goal as far as the education stuff? I know you're just kind of starting in and all that stuff. What's your goal as far as people coming to the classes and all that stuff to get out of it and all that?
What I really want is for people to grab at least one thing on how to make their success. How will they be successful? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? If they can learn a technique from me mm-hmm. and make them faster mm-hmm. or make their blends better, or even just seeing me and being like, you know what? If she made it, I can make it.
Yeah.
You know, she's this age, or she, looks like this, or blah, 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 mm-hmm. talks like that, has an accent, whatever, has a gap in her tooth, or whatever, what I'm saying? Pick me a pot. Mm-hmm. If you see something in me, in you, mm-hmm. then use that as your driving force.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Take my character flaws, character defects, and see it in you.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I think, too, I love this guy, David Goggins, or whatever, and he talks about, if there's somebody that looks like you that's done it, then you can do it. I mean, there's no
bottom
excuse.
Line.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can do it sounds so cliche. It sounds like whatever.
Yeah.
But if you work towards it,
mm-hmm.
then you'll do it.
Yeah.
Period. There's no time frame.
Mm-hmm.
People put a time frame. Oh, by 32, I want a kid. Mm-hmm. By 34, I want a house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Why are you putting an age limit to this?
Yeah, because if you don't get
right, you're already failed, and you're beating yourself up over it.
Yeah,
but if you just set a goal,
yeah,
you're like, I'm gonna do this.
Yeah,
I'm gonna travel the United States.
Mm.
That was my goal,
because
I already traveled overseas, and I'm like, you know what? I want to see the United States. I want to see where I live.
Yeah.
And now look, now I'm traveling the United States.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. I never thought I would, honestly.
Yeah.
But I just kept going and kept going.
Yeah. Do you set aside time to think about these things, or it just comes up naturally? Do you think of like, all right, what haven't I done that I want to do? Or you, it's just kind of like, hey, let's just ride, yeah, ride along. Yeah, it's just
whatever the flow is.
Yeah.
Because it, like, I'm creative in the way I think, mm-hmm. too. So if I see something like, oh, man, that would be dope if we could do that.
Yeah.
You know, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll involve the guys. I'm like, guys, what do you want to do? You want to do this? Yeah. And I'm like a little gnat. You know what I mean? I'm like, what, you want to do it? Let's do it. Let's do it. Until someone's like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to come, I want to do like a pod, not a podcast, but like a, something with the guys where it's like on YouTube. And it's such a great idea.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So once it happens, I'm going to, you know, it's going to be funny.
Yeah.
And it's totally us.
Yeah.
You know, I came up with the idea and it's like, how can we not, how stupid are we? We haven't done this yet.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
So it's just like that, you know, something comes up and you're like, oh, let's do it.
Yeah.
And just put it to motion.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I know we're getting to the time here and everything. Is there anything you'd like to add or encourage any barbers thinking about doing the leap? Because, you know, in your story, you know, you started a little bit later in life and all that stuff. Is there any words of encouragement you want to tell people if they're, you know, not necessarily a young buck, like 20 years old, oh, I'm going to go to hair school, whatever, but, or doing that pivot in their career and all that stuff.
I say, if you're thinking about being a barber or being a stylist, or I say, go for it, because I don't know anybody else in any career that is making people feel like really good about themselves. Like, you turn your person around into the mirror and they look at themselves. They're like, damn, I look good.
Yeah.
And, not only that, but I mean, there's a possibility to make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah.
I mean, a doctor makes that.
Yeah.
And, but they're in the hole already.
Yeah.
Probably hundreds of thousands of dollars.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So where else can you go to school for 1,200 hours, get a certificate,
yeah,
and be like, I make $180,000.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just throwing a number.
For sure.
And it is possible.
Yeah, for sure. There's plenty of barbers doing it.
You don't have to have your own shop to make that.
No, no. Which is crazy. I think it's like, you know, you could even have your own studio space or whatever. You could be a barber in a shop.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You are the person. You are part of their team. But you're also like your own business, right?
Yeah.
That's how I treat the guys. So like featuring, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's Sapia's Barbershop, but I'm featuring Big Rob. I'm featuring Cristiano, Cameron, and Little Rob.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're the ones that make up our shop too.
Yeah.
It's not just me.
Yeah.
Right? So we're a whole.
That's awesome.
So, but if you want to do it, go do it.
Yeah.
Like just start right now. Go right now and do it.
Yeah. I feel like there's so much education out there too that you could just be on YouTube for a while and
all day.
Yeah, just go mess up your little brother.
Literally, that's what I did.
Yeah.
I messed up all my friends here.
Yeah.
And then I fix it, and now, like, you know, they still come to me.
Yeah.
Most of them. So
that's awesome. Well, I want to thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you for your time and everything.
I appreciate you.
Yeah. Where can anybody find you on social media? I know you're talking about you're on TikTok, Instagram, and all that stuff. Where can people find you?
Yep, it's Sapia the Barber, Sapia the Barber, all one word. And it's on TikTok, the same thing on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yeah, so. And soon we'll be having a YouTube show.
And and YouTube too, Sapia's Barbershop on YouTube.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. If you found value in this podcast, please consider subscribing and leaving a rating, and sharing this episode with your fellow barbers and your fellow friends. Until next time, everyone, stay present.